This is In Focus, the weekly public affairs program from KTBB and the Team Sports Radio, featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place.
Well, we're going to spend a little time talking about the Salvation Army and really the plans for the holidays. Michelle Walker is with us. Who is, what is the rank?
Captain.
Captain. Which is something we can talk about a little bit. Something unique about the Salvation Army. Welcome. It's good to have you with us.
Thank you.
Appreciate
Glad
it.
Glad to be here.
You and your husband have been here since, what, 2020? Something
2020.
Like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Since about June 2020.
Where'd you come from? Where were you based before?
Well, we were in Midland, Texas before. We were there for 4 years, and then we were in Bryan College Station for 4 years before that.
A few more trees than in Midland. Yeah.
Absolutely.
There's a whole lot of nothing in Midland.
You're right. A lot of dirt.
Indeed. But you see the horizon forever.
Absolutely.
I lived in Amarillo for a time as a news director.
Okay. And somebody, similar.
So, yeah. Somebody told me you can watch your dog run away for 2 days.
You can. You know? You can. You can see a long way away.
More trees. Anyway, good to have you here, and it's good to have you in the area. Let's talk a little bit about... first of all, the holidays, I guess, because that's super busy time for you guys. Now, by the time this airs, we will be past Thanksgiving. It's will air on Sunday.
Yeah.
I assume you had a great feed and everybody, you know,
right.
It went well.
Right.
But Christmas is a huge time for all charities, but particularly the Salvation Army.
Sure.
First of all, you need bell ringers, don't
we
you?
We do need bell ringers. Yes, we do. We absolutely need people just to get on, register to ring.
Mm-hmm.
You can either ring by yourself, choose a place where you want to ring, choose how many hours, an hour or 2 hours, whatever it is, or you can get a group together.
Mm-hmm.
You can get family members together, whatever it is. It's a good time for people. It's a tradition, actually, that people can pick up for the Christmas season, and it's much appreciated. We really do need a lot of bell ringers, and we actually pay people to ring bells.
You do?
So some people that are standing out there are actually paid.
Oh.
So last year, I think we had 57% of our doors were actually open where we had absolutely no one standing at the door. So if we don't have anybody standing at the door, there's no chance that we're going to raise any money at that door, right? So it's just tough getting people to ring a bell, but we'd appreciate if people would just call us or get on register to ring.
How many locations do you have kettles?
We actually have 43 different doors.
Wow.
Yeah. So like,
I didn't realize there was that many.
Yeah. So you know all the big super Walmarts, they actually have two doors.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of count those as two doors, but... all the way, you know, from the mall to Hobby Lobby, Mardell, all the Walmart, Super Walmarts, and then hopefully the Brookshires, all the Brookshires, Super One, Fresh, all of those. And so we just, you know, we have a lot of places that people can ring at.
Catch them at the grocery stores, catch them when they're shopping for Christmas and all of
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Just nitty gritty nuts and bolts. How long a shift does the average bell ringer work?
Well, the paid ones, they'll ring from 10 to 8.
Oh, okay.
But people can choose. Usually we try to do at least two-hour shifts.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those places are for a full day just because we have to leave our kettle outside instead of having somebody take it inside.
Oh, okay.
So for a lot of those, for some of those, like Hobby Lobby, we have to have somebody just there all day. So, you know, like I said, if you can get a group together and you need, you know, 2 hours apiece, that's either five people if they want to stand there by themselves or it's just 10.
All right.
So if you can, you know, find those people, it's great.
So if somebody says, hey, you know, I want to do something charitable this holiday, what do they need to do to get in touch with you?
Oh, they just need to call us. They can call us at our office. It's 903-592-4361.
Mm-hmm.
And then just say what you need, and we can do that. They can get on register to ring, like I said. And then on any of our kettle stands, they have a QR code that people can, you know, because a lot of people say, oh, sorry, I don't have any cash. right?
Okay.
People don't carry a lot of cash. We don't. And so basically I'm like, okay, well, then you can just use your phone, and here's a QR code, and you can donate through that. And you can get on our website, right, and just get on there and donate if you want to. If you don't have the time, you can just donate money through there.
That's very sharp, because I hadn't thought about that. I don't carry much cash, probably like a lot of folks.
Sure.
You do it all with the car.
Sure. Yeah. And we actually have virtual kettles, so which means you can set up your own kettle, and you can send it off to family in New York or Los Angeles or wherever you have family at.
Oh.
And they can just donate to your kettle.
So we've entered the 21st century.
Finally. Yes, we have.
Yes. At long last.
Everything digital.
We were talking before we started about, charity in general and the economy and all of that. These, particularly post-COVID and all of that, this has been a tough time for all charities, but particularly for you guys.
It has. Yeah, COVID hit and it was a little bit of a downtime for us. Mm-hmm. But of course, we didn't close, right? You can't close a homeless shelter.
Right.
You can't close feeding people. And so we just worked through all of that, and God provided for us. And the community, Tyler's really good. Mm-hmm. Smith County is really good about donating money and being very charitable to us. And so we thank everybody for that. And of course, the economy. The economy's kind of hit us. We didn't actually hit our goal last year. I want to say it was about 400,000. We hit about 387-ish last year. We got close, but not the full scale.
Probably closer than a lot of businesses got,
yes,
frankly.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. We worked really hard to hit that actual number. This year it's 389,000, so we're hoping we can hit that. We only went above a couple of thousand. I think the economy is really kind of hit people. People kind of holding on to their money just to kind of see what's going to happen, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. and we do
Election
have...
Election time is always a roll of the dice.
It's
yeah.
true. It's true. And we've had people, you know, we've had more people donate like last year. Mm-hmm. It's just that the money was less. So instead of people, you know, maybe donating $25 a piece, they were doing more like 10 or 5.
So you got more smaller donations.
Right. But, you know, God always provides. He gives us what we need.
Well, you have to hope if you've got more people in getting into the habit of giving.
Sure.
When they feel more comfortable, maybe those donations will, you know, individually right. all rise.
Yes. Yeah. And I think some of it also this year is the fact that Thanksgiving is on the last week of November rather than the third week of November.
Oh,
so
okay.
people just want to kind of get through Thanksgiving first before they actually want to give. And believe it or not, the colder it is, the more people feel like, oh, it's Christmas because it's cold outside. So when it's warm, a lot of people just don't give.
A lot of it's psychological. You're right.
It really is.
You're right. And until you're bundled up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's not Christmas.
Yeah. Good point. But it's going to be anyway, whether it's warm or not.
That's
and
right.
you guys have people to feed and things to do. Let's talk about the programs and particularly what's coming up for Christmas. What's special will happen with the Salvation Army for Christmas?
We do have, we have our regular programs, obviously. Mm-hmm. We have a 200-bed shelter. We feed 365 days, 3 meals a day.
Yeah.
We kind of do that all the time. And then we have a 4:30 meal for the public that people can just drive up and get a meal if they need one.
Really?
So if you ever feel hungry and you come by, you can drive up and get a to-go meal. So that we do have that, but we also have our Angel Tree. And that's kind of a special time for our during the Christmas time, which means we have our low-income families come in. They fill out an application, and they give us their information for their children. We put that on an angel. And seniors. We have seniors come in, and we help a lot of nursing homes. Most of our seniors are nursing home people, residents. And then we put those on trees. And then people, you know, pick those off, buy whatever it is that they want to buy for them, and then they bring that back to the angel, wherever they got the tag from, or they can bring it to our office at 633 North Broadway.
Okay, honestly, particularly for kids.
Yes,
I mean we've seen this everywhere I've worked over the years. The Salvation Army's done the Angel Tree thing, and it is remarkable. You get some kid's name. Do they? If I'm recalling correctly, do they put kind of what they'd like?
They do.
On
they do. Yeah. Every tag has the child's name, their age, whether they're female or male, and then their sizes, their pant sizes, their shirt sizes, their shoe size, and then they put a wish, and then they actually put a need. And so their wishes are just whatever they wish for Christmas, and then their need is something.
Same thing every kid wishes for.
It's true. It's true. And then so they'll put a need on there, like a coat or shoes or something like that, that the mom thinks that the child really needs for that Christmas.
So what's the time frame for this? Is the angel tree available yet?
Yes. We opened that. We had our actual angel tree and kettle kickoff on November 8th at the mall, kind of up right in front of JCPenney's and Chick-fil-A, kind of that area. That's where our biggest angel tree is set up at. People can pick that up from 11 to 7 every day except for Sunday. Of course, we close everything for Sunday. Yeah. And then they can just bring that back for that time until the 7th of December. Hence why I wanted to talk about it, because it's coming up.
Wow. So all of this stuff, you need to get it in by the 7th?
Yes, by December 7th. And then we actually distribute those. The families come and pick those up on December 13th. It was when the kids pick those up.
And then they got to figure out where to hide it all.
Yes.
Until Christmas.
Right.
I can't recommend this too highly, but I've done it. I know a lot of people in my business and every other business have done it. It's a darn good feeling.
Yes.
It really is.
It really is. Yeah, it's nice to be able to, it's something that people can actually see, right? They can buy a gift for a child when I don't think any child, I can't even imagine not ever waking up and not having Christmas gifts, right?
Yeah.
But there are people that do. And that's just the fact. But it'd be sad for that to actually happen. And so we do our best to accommodate and help them and to get their wish.
And again, it's not just kids.
No, it's seniors. a lot of people kind of forget.
You're talking to one. Can I give you my name?
Sure, you can.
Can I hang it on there?
Especially those who are in nursing homes, sometimes they don't have families, sometimes they're kind of forgotten. And so it's nice to be able to get them something new that they might need, like, a blanket for their lap when they're sitting in their wheelchair or toothpaste or a brush or whatever it might be. Some of those are pretty simple. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Puzzles, things like that.
I hadn't thought about that. Is that a recent development, adding the older folks in?
Since I've been here, they've always had it in Tyler.
Oh, okay.
Like, I didn't have it in Midland, but I had seniors here.
Yeah, I had not seen that before.
Yeah.
But it's a great idea. Fantastic idea. And this is, let's talk about all the things you guys do, because we think about Salvation Army, we think about United and all that other. We think about that around the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys are at this, 365 days a year.
We are. We have, like I said, we have that shelter, the 200-bed shelter. Mm-hmm. 15 rooms of those are family rooms. And so we are the only emergency shelter in Tyler, in Smith County. And so it's nice to be able to provide a place for people to stay. They have a safe place. It's warm. We have a cold and warm area that people can go to, whether it's, really hot outside, they can come in and get some water. Whether it's really cold, they can come in. It's nice to be able to provide that for people, especially when the weather's kind of bad for them.
I mentioned working in Amarillo, the station I worked for there, as news director. We had we did a series called The Forgotten, and it was all about the homeless, different aspects of that.
Sure.
And one of the places we visited there was the Salvation Army.
Yeah.
And there are so many reasons for homelessness. We tend to think abuse, addiction, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But it can be family violence. It can be psychological problems.
Sure.
Whatever the issues are.
Right. I mean, we have people who, like, I remember I was at Hobby Lobby standing there buying something, and the lady said, "Oh, you're from the Salvation Army." And I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, I just want to thank you because my husband and I were moving here. They were in, I don't know, somewhere like Minnesota or somewhere, and they were trying to close on a house. And he just happened to come to Tyler to for his job, and they didn't quite have a place to live yet. They were kind of closing, and he needed 2 weeks. And so he stayed in our shelter for 2 weeks.
Wow.
So he wasn't necessarily homeless,
yeah,
per se, but he stayed in our shelter for a couple of weeks. They appreciated that. But we have anywhere from somebody just passing through to people who are truly homeless, and probably the mental status of a lot of our people a lot of it is that issue or addiction.
Yeah.
But we do have people who are on domestic violence and things like that. So it's a whole plethora of things.
I recall particularly that episode when usually a woman is and or with children has to get out. They just have to get out, and they have no close family to lean on. They have to go someplace.
Yeah. Yeah. It's gratifying to be able to, mm-hmm, to make sure that people are safe. And we do our best to do that. Because, you know, everybody that comes into the shelter have to have a state issue ID.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be, you know, dated or whatever, but it has to be a state issue ID. And we do that for the safety of all of our people.
Right.
And we don't necessarily want to put a Band-Aid on our people either. We kind of want to help fix their problems. So mm-hmm, they're allowed to stay for 7 days. And then once that 7 days is over, they actually have to start talking to one of our case managers,
mm-hmm,
to try to, you know, help them to figure out what they need to actually get a job, to get an apartment, mm-hmm, to kind of to be out on their own, because that's really the goal, is to make sure that they can kind of get back on their feet, get an apartment, and, you know, be a citizen.
Mm-hmm. Do you connect them with the resources needed for all of that?
Yes, our case managers are great about that, trying to find places for them to stay. You know, if it is a woman with domestic violence, we try to find a crisis, mm-hmm, place for them. The Salvation Army is a very big entity, should I say, organization.
Big tent.
We're in 133 different countries, right? So there's not a zip code that the Salvation Army doesn't cover, mm-hmm, in the United States. And so whenever we have somebody like that, if they want to go somewhere else, we do have shelters that are actually private for domestic violence ladies and things like that. So we can actually transfer them to those places. And we also have a 180-day faith-based addiction program, mm-hmm, that people can enter. And it's you know, we try to put a lot of guide in front of them, because we believe that addiction really needs guide in that. So they take a lot of Bible classes.
The Salvation Army is at its core a ministry.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what we're based on. Like it's all based
on. Beginning about 1865.
1865 in England. It's great to be able to pour into them, because you can kind of see them when they first come in to when they actually graduate from our program, sober, sober and happy, and their eyes are open, and they're actually seeing the world for a lot of them. For the first time since they can remember,
mm-hmm,
you know, a lot of them had just been addicted to drugs since they were kids.
Yeah.
And so it's great to be able to just interact with them and see the progress that they've made, and you know, just be happy that God moved them and transferred them.
One of the captains I've interviewed over the years and doing this forever said three basics, you know, soup, soap, and salvation.
That's right. That's right. Our founder just he found out that if somebody's really hungry,
yeah,
or they're really dirty,
they're
aren't going to listen to you, right? And so that was his motto. You know, I just need to feed somebody, get them cleaned up, mm-hmm, and then I'll talk to them about salvation. And that's basically what we do. Yeah.
When the sermon is drowned out by a grumbling stomach, yeah.
Exactly.
It's a little tough to take it.
I mean, we all have been hungry before, right?
Oh,
We don't want to listen to anything.
Yeah. What got you into this? How did you get started with this?
Well, my parents are Salvation Army officers.
Oh, okay.
They have been Salvation Army officers for 46 years, and then they retired. And so I was kind of raised in it, born in the Salvation Army, if you, mm-hmm, want to say. I was a nurse for 12 years before, mm-hmm, this, and my husband was a ranch manager.
I found that interesting. He's managing a big ranch here in Texas.
Yes, yes. Yeah, actually, the Salvation Army had a ranch. That's who he was working for at the time. It was 3,200 acres,
uh-huh,
out in Midlothian. And he felt God's calling first.
Ah.
Yeah. I had always wanted to be a nurse.
And you came from the Salvation Army family.
I did. So I kind of knew what my parents were going through and how hard they worked. And I never really thought much about it. Mm-hmm. I always wanted to be a nurse. Thought, God, that's what He called me to do. And so I was doing that. And when He told me He was called, I said, well, you know, let me think about it. Let me talk to God about that. And God, He talked to me about that. And called me. And that's really the only reason why I'm doing that is because God called me to do that. Yeah. It's definitely a calling. It's not a job. It's not a career. Yeah. It's definitely a calling.
Now, we talked about the shelter, and you feed people as well every day.
Right. Right. So we sheltered over, we had over 38,000 shelter nights with our people. Mm-hmm. And then we had over 85,000 meals served last year, and we're aiming for probably close to 100,000 this next year.
Do you get a lot of cooperation from local eateries, grocery stores, that sort of thing?
We do. Uh-huh. John Soles is real big about donating chicken to us. We do have food drives. Our mm-hmm. auxiliary is very good about having food drives for us. They bring canned food for us. We just have different churches and church groups and mm-hmm. schools and things like that who will, like, if we put it out there, a lot of times they'll have banks, they'll have food drives for us. And so we really do depend a lot on people donating the food to us. Mm-hmm. And so whatever we have, that's what we serve, because we also have a pantry, right, that we give food boxes out for people who need that. You know, who have a home, they just need some food. Mm-hmm. And so we do that also through our social
services. Well, and whenever there's a disaster, I mean, I grew up in Houston, so...
Okay, yeah.
Hurricane.
Or Houston.
Every couple of years there's a hurricane, and the Salvation Army is always there.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you guys were very busy on the East Coast this year.
Yeah, we were. Actually, my husband and I both were deployed. I was deployed to Helene. In Florida. And
it really is like being in the service, isn't it?
It is. They call you and you go.
You get your orders. You know?
That's right. You get a whole deployment and all those things. And then my husband served in Florida for Milton. So, like, we saw each other for about 24 hours, and then he was off.
When you go to a disaster site, tornadoes in Oklahoma, hurricane along the Gulf Coast, what's the first step?
The first step is we have, like, what we call an IMAT team. Mm-hmm. It's just a command team, basically, that says, where do we need to feed, right? Where do we need to go? What's the hardest hit area? Mm-hmm. What exactly do they need? And a lot of what the Salvation Army does is we feed. That's basically what we do, because that's what people need, right? They can't cook if they don't have a place. You know, if you don't have a house to cook out of, you're going to need some food, whether you have money or not. Or electricity. There's been plenty of times where we just haven't had electricity. And so we basically feed. We set up the Southern Baptist men. Mm-hmm. They are usually the people that cook for us. We bring the food in, they cook for us, and then we have canteens that go out and just feed. We give them water, they have snacks, they have drinks, and then we usually cook a hot meal for people.
You had a lot of people in the Carolinas who never expected to be hit by a hurricane.
They were
caught very completely unawares.
Right, and I think between the two of those, the mm-hmm. Salvation Army served over 600,000 meals.
Wow.
Yeah, so, and we actually just got our disaster unit back from North Carolina.
Because they've been there all this time.
They've been here this time. Yeah, like we've had, because the Salvation Army is everywhere, I actually drove our RRU from Florida to North Carolina so that they could serve in North Carolina. And we helped them just use the RRU while they were there.
Wow.
Yeah. And we also provide emotional and spiritual care. That's usually what my job is. They send me as an emotional and spiritual care leader and a chief. And then we basically have other ministers come from the Salvation Army, and then we kind of take them out with the canteens. And they kind of stand in line with people and talk with people and pray with them and do what they can to kind of make them feel a little better about the situation.
Well, yeah, and without labeling, that's a pretty spiritual part of the country.
Sure.
In the southern states like that. So
yes.
I'm sure that part was welcome as well.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't have to. We're blessed by that, because we did have, with this last one, we did have people coming from Canada. Mm-hmm. We had Salvation Army officers crops are from the Eastern Territory, so like Massachusetts and things like that. And they were totally surprised by how welcoming the Southern people are. The people in Florida, people in North Carolina, because they're like, we don't really get that. So I was like, glad to be in the South.
If you've ever been to New York, you understand. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, so it's a blessing.
I don't think they're unfriendly. They're just busy.
Sure. Sure.
They're in a hurry. What do you need from people? I mean, obviously donations.
Sure.
But what can people do for you? Are there things you need volunteers for outside of the holidays?
You know, we do have a thrift store. We have a family store that provides, they provide everything that people donate to us. We sell that. But all of that money goes straight into our programs. And so 82 cents of every dollar, basically, that we raise goes straight into our programs. And so we could always use volunteers at our family store. Our auxiliary is always looking for volunteers for people to either join the auxiliary.
What do they do? What does the auxiliary do?
Our auxiliary is a volunteer group. They basically raise money for us. They have three buildings kind of out in the back of our property that they sell things from. So they collect things throughout the year, usually from auctions, you know, that they have estate sales, and they collect all those items, get them all ready, and then they usually have two sales, a spring sale and a fall sale, and then they'll have a Christmas sale during Christmas, and then they just raise money for us. We have a meeting every month, except for in the summer and then December, but it's a good time with the ladies. They have a fashion show, so that's going to be coming up, yeah, they basically are there just to kind of raise money for us and volunteer for us, and they usually provide about $100,000 a year for us. Okay. So they're a working group. They do very well. So if anybody's interested in doing that, they can do that. They're always looking for volunteers to help do those things. And then, of course, we have our kitchen that people can serve food from. And so we can use the help doing that also. But we do have several people who come and volunteer on a regular basis for us. We don't have a lot, but we have some.
Okay. Well, and you, are you in need, folks, for the Christmas, all the Christmas feeds?
We don't really do a big Christmas feed because we do such a big Thanksgiving feed, and we're always doing we have kettles and all that kind of thing and the angel tree during the Christmas time. They will have a Christmas meal, but we just don't feed like we do the Thanksgiving meal. I mean, we'll feed over 1,000 people usually for the Thanksgiving meal.
Wow.
Yeah. We don't quite open that up for Christmas time.
And as far as the thrift store is concerned, what do you need? I mean, it's like everything else, whether it's Goodwill or you guys or whatever, don't bring your junk.
Yes. You know? Right. Because we have to pay to actually
haul
your junk away. Gently used clothing, gently used shoes, furniture, like nice furniture. We don't accept mattresses anymore because they're just too hard to keep
clean and
things like that.
I don't think anybody does.
Yeah,
it's tough. You never know what you're...
Yeah, you never know.
Bed bugs.
Yeah, it's all that kind of stuff. And so just anything that's gently used, we can definitely use and turn into our program, so it's good.
I mean, up to furniture?
Up to furniture.
Chests of drawers, you know, dressers?
All of those things. Bedroom suits, except for the mattresses, of course.
Right.
We'll take the bed frames.
Yeah.
Just not the mattresses. Dishes. We have a lot of dishes and any kind of brick-brack things like that. Just anything, jewelry, any of that stuff, we'll sell it. We can sell pretty much anything.
So bring your jewelry. Yeah,
that's right. Bring all your jewelry.
That would work just fine.
That would. You know?
You're nearing your goal, I gather, for the year. And it, obviously, folks, if you can help out with that, that would be much, much appreciated.
Absolutely.
And then once the holidays are over, it all picks up again.
Yeah, we don't stop. It just continues on. The money that we raise for our kettles, first and foremost, if we need money for our angel tree, that's kind of what it goes to. But it kind of helps with that if we need that money. It usually happens pretty much every year. We'll have 400 or 500 angels that we call them forgotten angels. Either somebody didn't pick off a tree or they picked it off a tree and they didn't bring it back or they lost it or whatever the case may be. Yeah. And so a lot of times we may have to go and buy some things when it comes to clothing and things like that. that.
Is the Angel Tree just in one location? Is that
there's one at the mall, and then I have them at the Walmarts, the five big super Walmarts. So Lindale, and then Troop, and Broadway, 64 and 31.
Okay.
And so there's trees all there also.
Just in like a central location.
They're on each side of the entrances.
Oh, okay.
So when you walk in, you should be able to see them first thing, and you just. It's a one-stop shop, right? So you can just buy everything, take it to customer service, and you're done, pretty much.
Oh, you can do it right there?
Yeah, you can do it at Walmart.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And, of course, the mall is probably our biggest tree, yeah. Where our auxiliary ladies volunteer for.
Okay.
They sit there and they run that. And then we just distribute those.
If people want to find out more.
Yes, they can either call our number at 903-592-4361, or they can go to Register Ring if they just want to ring a bell mm-hmm. for us, or they can go to the Salvation Army website. Just look up Salvation Army Tyler, Texas.
Just send money.
Yeah.
That's
they
simple.
Can actually donate
simple.
Money. Right. It's on our website also.
Simplest thing to do. Michelle, thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Have
appreciate
a wonderful
you.
Holiday.
In Focus is a weekly public affairs program featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place. In Focus is produced by KTBB and the Team Sports Radio. And we thank you for listening. Join us again next week.